A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whiskey Sun. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody, welcome to another week. It is another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. My name is Sakisa, and this week I'm joined by Danny Scott.
Hello.
And Mark Ram.
Main event, Mark Ram. Thank you very much. Every week.
Every time.
For this.
I mean, I have occasionally said it, but sometimes I'm like, maybe this won't to be
maybe,
main event.
Maybe
this
you
week.
Haven't deserved it this week. What
I've,
have you done
I've
this
learned
week?
Your multiple nicknames.
Well, that's because it was easier than my real name, isn't it?
I know your real name.
Go on.
Sakisa. I can do the rest of it if you want, but I don't know my how mum, much public knowledge that is.
My mum, every time I say I do the podcast, she cannot get your name right. It's so funny. She's like, are you going up there with
Sakisa? You're just like, Twix is fine.
I know, it's Twix. Yeah, just, you know her. You've met her multiple times. Like, just
my mum has multiple times referred to you as my friend Shakira.
Shakira.
How's your friend Shakira? She'll say.
I'm sure she's great.
And I'm like, well, her breasts are small and humble, like mountains.
They're not small and humble. They're definitely not small and humble.
You don't have that in common with Shakira.
No, I do not have that in common with Shakira.
One of the only things you don't have in common with Shakira, I'm sure, is your hips do not lie. I've seen you bellesque.
Yeah, my hips
I've seen you bellesque.
my hips definitely do not lie.
Onyx Fatale. One of the many names.
One of the many names. Oh, Lord.
I love this podcast.
We are 1 week before the draft on WWE, and we've had this week Dynasty and AEW pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. We've had some interesting things that come up, so we might as well kick it off with our highlights and lowlights of the week. So, Poppin' Heat. Anyone want to kick it off?
I mean, should we start off with the obvious highlight of the week and just talk about the match that was Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson? Or would you like to just talk about that separately?
We're going to talk about it separately in terms
what
of the
What highs have I got, though? What other highs have happened this week?
Okay, fine. I can give you one.
I've got one. Gunther entering the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
That King of the Ring is going to matter now. Yeah. It's not going to be just like lower card guys filling some time.
Yeah.
This is going to be a main event level thing.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting the fact that Gunther came back, returned, and announced he was entering King of the Ring.
You know, as well, I quite liked the fact he was just like, yeah, thank you for taking the burden of that title off me. Yeah. I was a bit like, you cold son of a bitch. Like, I was like, what you? Because I'm guessing he's King of the Ring, then like a world title, right? I'm guessing that's what he's alluding to.
I mean, he has to win it, doesn't he? I don't know who else is in it. I mean, because
Drew's in it.
You got obviously Xavier Woods said he's defending it, so he's going
to
be back.
I would love that to be the first match.
I guess Sheamus will be in there too.
Yeah, I'm
what sure. You want Gunther and.
Gunther
Woods.
And Woods, Xavier. And
can you imagine if Woods does him over straight away?
No.
That'd be so good, though.
And then I think it will be Drew versus Sheamus.
Drew Sheamus first round.
Yeah, yeah.
Drew Sheamus.
And I reckon they could almost do that thing where they go to a draw and it's a bye for the person in the next round.
Also, I'd argue that was my highlight of this week was Drew Sheamus's promo.
Oh, what? You look like you've had a lot of burgers.
Yeah, like, he's like, banger after, it was like, burgers after burgers. I was like, mate, but that promo, even the like, you can tell how close they are. Like Sheamus going in the ring, going, "Are you going to stand up or he's going to sit down?" I was like, "I love it." It was such a good promo.
I'm not necessarily here for this fat Sheamus-ing.
No. Oh, you shouldn't have been here last week. Daddy was on it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. I told him to fuck off.
Yeah,
but also, we addressed it, didn't we? We addressed it.
Well, Daddy was like,
I was thinking it when he came out, but like, fuck off if it's a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, if he, I would kill to look like Sheamus.
Yeah. They're calling him fat, but he still has abs. Like, they're still, you can still see him. I'm like, bro, everyone calling him like fat. I'm like, come on, man.
Everyone can look like Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making Drew.
Shizzled out of a mountain.
Iron Drew. One highlight for me is that we have a new NXT World Heavyweight Champion. Trick Williams!
I like it. It was the logical choice after what happened with Carmelo and Ilya going to the main roster. I do sort of hate this NXT trope of the guy going up to the main roster with the title and immediately losing it.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, I've already gone. There you go. Yeah. See you later. Yeah. Kind of takes the
I don't know what they're going to do with Ilya in the main roster. I don't know where they put him and what they do. Does he enter King of the Ring?
Because what it kind of felt like was the... after the Raw after WrestleMania when he came out, kind of was like, is this a test to see whether he does okay on Raw?
And then, so
okay, we're going to drop your title now. Yeah, we're going to drop your title.
Yeah, here's your promotion. Drop your title and come up here and be a jobber.
Let's never say where he's from. Can't it be a baby face from there right now?
Yeah, exactly.
We also have a new WWE Women's Champion.
Meh.
I mean,
not happy about it.
Yeah, I think this is controversial. Okay. Let's go.
I think it's the right call as long as she is facilitating to lose the belt to somebody else. Because someone else winning the title for the first, like a new champion in the battle royal doesn't mean a lot. So Becky winning the title in the battle royal and then dropping it to someone. So if Liv Morgan takes this belt off Becky, it means more for her to do that than it would mean for her to win it in the battle royal.
I don't agree.
Liv, didn't you?
Well, it makes more sense.
I think it will be because
Becky lost at WrestleMania like a little fucking dick that she is. Like, she, fucking promote your book, do one. Like, it's Liv's time. Liv injured her. Liv should have won that. Like, and also then beat the woman who Rhea beat, and it gives it more prestige. Like, for me, it gives that a bit more of like a when, like, and then Liv should just hold it till Rhea comes back. Then you have that feud that they were trying to build anyway.
100% agree with you, but I think that's all they're doing. I think they're giving the title to Becky from the Battle Royal so Liv can take it off her.
But why? Because give Becky a little moment.
Because Liv kind of winning the Battle Royal is a bit meh, whereas Liv winning it off someone is like, of Becky's stature is like, that's a bigger deal than winning just because she threw someone out of the ring.
Yeah, I kind of get that, maybe. Okay, so, I can see what you're saying there.
Unless Becky's going to hold it for a year, then they can fuck that
up. Oh, fuck off, mate.
Also, she wants time off as well. She's only extended to stay. She was going to take time off just so she could play the title.
Yeah, I assumed that she was going to have like a whole time off because she mentioned the fact that how she was away from her, she's going to be away from her child for 8 days and now she was away from her husband from surgery. That it's all worth it that she's won the belt.
She's doing this as a favour, essentially, and that's given a stick for her. She thinks she's Hulk Hogan now, taking the belt off the side. She's not. She's doing everyone a favour. Just watch him for a few weeks. She won't have the belt in a few weeks, I guarantee.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
what's the time stamp, do you reckon?
Next pay-per-view, Liv takes it.
Yeah.
So that's backlash. That's backlash. In a week's time.
I think Liv takes it in a week,
In a week?
Becky doesn't need a long time.
I would love
that. I think this is one of my lowlights, is backlash. Like, we've already had two matches announced for Backlash, which is both the championship matches in the men's division. So it's Cody versus AJ Styles,
which will be good.
And that'll be
a great match.
And it will be also Yeet.
Jey Uso versus
Damian Priest. And it also, fun fact, did you know that how every time that the Universal belt has gone, changed hands, AJ Styles has always been the first person to challenge?
There's a reason for that. It's because you know the new champion's not going to lose the title in his first defense. So you just give it to the guy who's going to give him a really good pay-per-view match, and it's going to be AJ Styles every single time.
Jey Uso, apparently.
And I think Jey Uso is like, he's not going to win it.
He's not going to win it.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be very interesting what else they announce for the Backlash pay-per-view, considering it's only a week. It feels like it's gone. It's kind of AEW vibes where you're just like, we're just going to throw some matches matches.
The draft, the timing of it makes it interesting as well. So I think it's tough. And also, like, quite glad it's not a very good card because fuck the French, man. I don't want them to have a good pay-per-view. I don't want them to have a better pay-per-view than we have in the UK.
Because did you see... obviously, because WWE had been in London for the last week or so. Did you see the Cody Rhodes promo?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, he comes out and he says that they've sold out Birmingham, they've sold out London. Was it Manchester as well?
Cardiff.
And they're like, if any place has ever proven that they deserve a WrestleMania... it's the UK. Well, and we're like, John Cena said it, and now you're saying it. Fucking, can you just give us a WrestleMania, please?
Heavy rumours we're getting the Rumble next year.
I would go to that.
I would almost prefer that to
WrestleMania. Could you imagine a London crowd counting down? We'd be such cunts. Like, we'd count down at the wrong time for no reason. Like, they'd just get in the room. 10, 9. Go, Santino! And it's not even there. That'd be up. We'd be such a terror at a Royal Rumble. It would be brilliant.
And just boo everyone that's winning it that's not who we want.
Who's not Pete Dunne.
Come on, Pete Dunne.
Yeah, yeah.
Low light. for me this week. We've had some releases. It's been some sad times for some people.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Jinder Mahal has gone. I believe he asked for his release.
They have hindered Jinder for the last time.
Zanga, Xia Li. I'm gonna never pronounce his name right. I'm gonna say X1 Quinn, Von Wagner.
Yeah.
And the one that actually touched my soul after watching his video was Cameron Grimes.
I saw that video.
It was so distressing, actually.
He seemed really sad.
He's so upset. It seems like the majority of them who came from NXT were on for 5 years. I think them moving Cameron Grimes to SmackDown was a bad move. Stick him on.
I don't think any of those will be particularly missed, though. I it's sad that they lost their jobs. It always is, but I don't think you're looking at any of those on the roster and going, "All right, they're massively benefiting TV right now."
If Cameron Grimes was still on NXT, if they hadn't moved him up, I think it would have been a different story.
But they did, and he has, and he'll be fine. He'll end up in TNA, and he'll probably be champion there. He'll be wrestling Mustafa Ali for the X Division title as soon as his non-compete or whatever's over.
Yeah.
Another low light for me this week. Unfortunately, it's not relating to Dominic Mysterio's injury, which is sad times. It's relating to his moustache. What is going on, people, with the moustache?
Hang on, you said this, right? Hang on. Vince McMahon, he shall not be named, grew a bad moustache.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mark put that perfectly on the podcast. Mm. Dominic Mysterio is trying to bring respect back to the moustache. And I, for one, am behind it. He's got a bad arm. He can't shave properly now. He needs to shave with his left arm. He's struggling. Mummy's not around. She could help. She's not around. She's hurt. So you know what? Grow that moustache, boy. Grow it. And bring the respect back to the moustache.
So you're saying it's like a Chaplin Hitler sort of situation?
Yes.
you decide which of the two is Chaplin and which of the two is Hitler. Because one of them may be dirty, but the other one's dirtier.
It's so bad.
I love it.
So
it was
bad.
Out of nowhere as well. He just pops into shot. He's like, hello.
I literally went,
you've got to address the handlebar mustache.
What is this mustache?
Hey, you know if mummy was... You know mummy's gone and that's what's happened. Like, she's not there to regulate that shit anymore.
Yeah. It's like anyone in a couple where your partner leaves for a bit and you just forget how to live.
Is that why your hair starts like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been single for a tiny bit now and I don't know how to do my hair.
He's the Dominic Mysterio of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, fucking happy days.
Take that, to be fair.
I gotta take that, mate. Every day.
She's the Rhea.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not being the JD, though. I'm not having that.
No, I'll be
truth.
You can be truth.
Ibs,
I was going to give you Finn.
Huh?
I was going to give you Finn.
I'll take Finn.
You'll take Finn.
Mm.
Who's Richard then?
Ibs can be truth or JD. we ain't got a priest yet. One of them can be priest.
But then we need a JD somewhere.
Someone has to be a JD. No, someone can be truth. We don't want a JD.
Ibs can be truth.
Why?
Yeah, why is that?
That's
you know, it's like we both went quiet when he's like, why? Someone's got to be priest. Someone's got to be. We both went, who?
Who? No, because he's funny.
Because he's funny.
He's the Joker.
And then, Richard is Damian Priest.
Richard is Damian Priest.
He is the champion.
So we're still looking for a JD.
Looking for a JD.
Which, is that our producer?
No, the fact that no one wants to be JD on the podcast.
No one is looking for a JD.
No
one's looking for a JD.
Except when he's on screen where people want to get a JD to get drunk so they can get through it.
Oh, Lord.
He's so shit, man. He's so shit.
Some other thoughts in light of things that have happened this week in wrestling world. NXT have announced Battleground on the 9th of June in Las Vegas, which is interconnected with UFC APAC facility.
Okay.
That shall be interesting. I'm wondering whether they're going to go UFC style.
No, Shayna Baszler will just probably fight on it.
Well, Shayna did the Bloodsport show recently. And so did someone else from the roster did it as well. So Richard was here in there. They're laying the groundwork to put people out to do that sort of style. So maybe it'll be like... It's right there for Endeavor, you know, as a thing.
I keep saying I want to see a Lion's Den match. I want to see one.
Do you think they still have it?
They must do.
That warehouse has got all kinds of stuff.
Must do in their big old warehouse.
To be fair, you say you want to see a lot, but there's never been a good Lion's Den match. They've all been universally terrible. The fight pits were okay on NXT with Thatcher and...
Did you not enjoy Shamrock versus Steve Blackman?
No.
Oh.
Go rewatch that match and tell me if you enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm going to.
Also, the phrase enjoy and Steve Blackman do not go together often.
Hey, I enjoyed that match from what I remember. I thought it was great. Also, Matt Hardy turned up.
Woken.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, now we okay, woken, there we go. Woken. How we feel about this.
Okay, so you've got
turned up, by the way, turned up in TNA's last pay-per-view event, which was last week.
You've got a company that is hot as it's been in over a decade right now. They've just done the best pay-per-view that they've done since like 2008 or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have a credible world champion in Moose, and they had Josh Alexander before.
He's got the merch as well.
He's got the merch, Moose, and like, and they bring in Nick Nemeth, who you could get a title to, big star. He doesn't win the world title from Moose, which is fine. I was fine with that. But then Matt fucking Hardy.
You know, Matt Hardy won't win it.
No, but why shouldn't he be anywhere near the fucking thing?
I know it's just a bit of a pop, isn't it? It's just a bit of a pop.
You could do it anywhere on the card. It's not to be main event.
It was very random.
It was random, but also I think there was speculation of him going to WWE, and I think there's been a lot of like that speculation of where the Hardy boy is going to go. And I think the fact that he got to do his proper broken Matt Hardy of going like the lights go out, you know, like it's a little cheap pop. And I think they're doing the right. I quite like it. I mean, let's be honest. Moose is going to fucking destroy him. Like if they let Matt Hardy take that title off Moose.
Talk to me in 2 months when Matt Hardy's holding the TNA title and their buy rate goes down the fucking toilet again.
Ridiculous.
Because what's broken is their fucking booking.
But he has confirmed he's not officially signed. He has no contract with TNA. He could just show up whenever he wants to. So he's not a permanent factor in
That's hilarious that he then took out
Moose.
In that case,
I don't even work here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even go here.
You might as well be a fan just going, hey.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
How do we feel?
Back combed his hair and turned up.
Where's Jeff?
It's true, actually. How do we feel about Chad Gable's turn?
Love it.
Mm. Oh, Danny?
I thought the promo was shit.
Oh, I liked it. It had shades of serious angle. I heard a lot of Kurt Angle in the voice.
Yeah, I think they're going the angle route.
I don't know. There's potential, but I think when I was watching the promo, I was just watching it yesterday, when he sort of goes across the whole Alpha Academy, like it was proper heel, but like, you know where you're almost getting a whole heel faction again, and I'm trying to work out.
It's not going to be them.
It won't be them.
It'll be Creed.
It'll be the Creeds and Ivy. Creed. We'll replace those three.
Do you think?
I reckon they will absolutely, those three, they'll get so much heat because they will destroy the Alpha Academy.
Right, so you think the Creeds are going to come in?
And
I'll be up for that. I'll be up for that one, and Gable goes across and looks like, I'd be up for that.
High five.
Yeah, that's good. You've won me over on that. Mm. But I mean, like at the minute though, like I've got to take it as it is.
Oh, and you're not feeling it.
I'm not. I thought there was going to be something like, I don't really like it when wrestling promotions go, well, this person's healed, therefore now they wear a suit.
I get that, because Jericho did it originally and it kind of worked.
Yeah.
Because it was so far removed from his character that they had to do something else. Remember when they did it with Jack Swagger? That was weird.
That was weird.
And then like, even like Rollins, when he turned, all of a sudden, Authority, he's got a suit on. And then like Gable comes out there in their Alpha Academy thing and he's the only one in the suit going like, you're dumb as fuck, by the way, Maxine. And you're like, whoa. Just wear a suit doesn't mean you
can I throw out some Maxine
dick.
Props? She's a fucking good actor. She looks really sad.
She really did. Yeah. When he said that, I was generally a bit like, that's a bit harsh.
You leave Maxine alone.
Yeah.
And then when Ivy Nile kicks the piss out of Maxine.
Yeah. Well, again, I think if they do that, I'd be up for it. If he just tries to turn the Alpha Academy heel and then like we start getting heel Otis, I'm just not really about it. I can't see Otis and just like the Alpha Academy top, but all of a sudden it's now black. Ooh, we're mysterious. And I'm going to do the worm, but be bad about it. Like,
no, it won't work.
No, it won't.
What you'll get is eventually Chad will win the IC title off Sammy with the help of the Creeds and all that lot. And then Otis will challenge Chad for the, he'll lose, but Otis will have an Intercontinental title match with Chad. And that'll be a lot of fun.
I think that'd be quite interesting. I'd be up for that. Mm. I definitely do think it's the Creeds, though.
I think it's the Creeds.
Two more things, newsy-wise, and let me know your thoughts about how you feel about this. NJPW acquires Stardom.
Because Stardom is an interesting spot because of some changes in management. There are a lot of people who are leaving the promotion anyway.
Yeah.
The question is, will this incentivize people to stay
I'm not quite sure.
I don't think it will, because it's like the
new promotion. I might be stupid. I don't know.
So Stardom is Stardom? Japanese women's wrestling promotion. Probably the Japanese.
Oh, okay.
And it's been their management has changed recently, and they've gone off to someone else has gone off to start off a new promotion, and that has been a lot of people are pledging basically they're going to go to this new promotion.
Okay.
Now, if New Japan have bought Stardom, I don't know if they're looking to buy back catalog or whether they're trying to.
It's going to be interesting in the next coming weeks. I do think they're trying to keep their game players, their top game players there. But obviously, as we mentioned, some of them have already left.
Well, the landscape in Japan is massively changing anyway, because women's wrestling was not allowed on the same shows as men's wrestling, like at all. It just wasn't done until recently. And they've done a couple of women's matches at Wrestle Kingdom now,
which is
usually featuring Stardom talent.
Yeah.
So I reckon you're going to see a lot more of women's matches appearing on main cards of New Japan Pro Wrestling now. And that's what they're buying.
Considering that Forbidden Door's about to happen soon.
Yeah.
We might see more.
Perfect time then, right?
Yeah, it'd be perfect timing. Last but not least, let me know and your thoughts about this news-wise. Ruby Solo is pregnant.
Solo?
Yeah,
Solo Sokoa.
Soho. And ironically, because she's pregnant, she's not solo anymore.
Hey! Hey!
Ruby Duo, more like. Am I right, guys? Hey! Smashed
okay,
it.
Fine.
What if she's going to name the kid? Rancid?
Rancid.
Before we go in to talk about AEW Dynasty, I was lucky enough to speak to a amazing, talented woman called Heather, who is the founder and producer of Restival. So here is the little chat that I had with her now.
Please welcome to the club, founder, creator of Restival. She has got the best share wrestling impersonation that you will ever see in your life. Please welcome to the club, Heather! Hey, Heather,
yeah,
how are you doing?
Beautiful intro. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I like the way you're like, best in the world share impersonator wrestler, like possibly only. But that's also best, so thank you.
You're welcome. I like the fact that how today you look like you're impersonating Chucky.
That's my day today.
I love
my
it.
Day today. No, it's okay. I've got children, so I need to scare them. But yeah, like it's fine. but yeah, no, Chucky started off as a demonic doll. And so yeah, I spend a lot of time with children. Sorry, someone just told me to talk quieter. I'm in St. Leonard's today, a wonderful dandelion. So yeah, it's a record shop and a coffee shop. So this is my self-care. Did a podcast with my kids. So, yeah.
Well, we appreciate having you on the podcast.
Let's
talk about how you got into wrestling, shall we? Let's go there. What was your background?
I got into wrestling by accident. So in 2012, I'm going to say, I went to a place called the Resistance Gallery, which is closed now sadly. And I was talking to the guy behind the bar, and he was like, do you want to come and be a wrestler? And I just sort of laughed in his face, because I was like, that's not what I asked for, a beer. And he gave me a beer and a question like that. I was like, I hate exercise. And he was like, well, we need female wrestlers, and you seem funny, and you don't mind making a tit of yourself. I've been watching you. So would you like to come try a free session? And I was like, what an invitation. And I said yes. And it took me like 6 months to go. But I broke up with a boyfriend, which is a classic reason to try something new. And I went to Lucha Train. I knew nothing about wrestling. I didn't know who The Undertaker was when I started wrestling. Like, people were, like, just talking about, yeah, I didn't know who The Undertaker was. Thank you. What? Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch it as a kid. My mate, Karis, at school, broke her collarbone. Then someone did a stunner on her in the playground. So my parents were like, no, not watching wrestling. And I was like, okay. And I think I would go around Karis's house, who broke her collarbone, and watch it occasionally. But, like, I had no idea who any of them were at all. So, yeah, I started wrestling, and I loved it. And I hate exercise. I still don't like it. But because you have to just take up space and make noise, and I'm dyspraxic. So most of my life I've been quite like, oh, God, I'm just an ungainly woman. I was like, oh, I'd just, like, fall over and make noise. This is perfect for me. And that was it. And then I just had to learn everything about wrestling while learning to be a wrestler, specifically in Lucha Libre. So that's what happened.
And so then, you kind of went backwards, didn't you, in terms of like...
yeah, because I think I started it was WrestleMania month I started. Everyone was talking about WrestleMania and I didn't know what it was. So I was like, what is WrestleMania? And they were like, oh, start watching WrestleMania. So I watched WrestleMania 1. And then my husband, Fraser, I met him at wrestling training. But more on that probably, because he had that face of like, I'm going to ask you questions about that. But yeah, he was like, come around mine. I have every single WrestleMania on DVD except the main events. And I was like, oh, cool. So yeah, I had to literally start at 1 and like catch up. And I just still... It took me so long, but the only wrestling that really appealed to me was like Lucha Libre and like Japanese women's wrestling from the 80s. Yeah. So that was like, that's still kind of the wrestling that I find most exciting. But yeah, I just didn't get into it in like a normal way at all. And I just assumed all wrestling was like as weird as Lucha Britannia. You had Jerry Bakewell on, so anyone who knows Jerry Bakewell will know Lucha Britannia. So I was like, this is wrestling, right? And it's like, no, I know. No, it's not wrestling. It's not much wrestling. So
are you still up to date with wrestling now? Do you watch it still?
So I recently started watching AEW because I was like, well, I run a wrestling festival. I should probably watch some more wrestling. And I did. It's pretty good. I mean, obviously, lots of it is amazing. There are matches which is just like, move. And I'm getting sad because I'm like, where are the headlocks? Come on, guys. But I've been watching this stuff with like Bryan Danielson. And even though I'm a bit confused about the women in AEW, I think maybe they could try a little bit. Thank you.
Join the club.
Yeah, try a bit harder. Just a little bit harder and you'll be perfect. But yeah, I'm watching it. And I've been learning that the best matches are still the same things that I learned at wrestling school 15 years ago, which is telling a story. And it doesn't have to be just how many times you can do a backflip. You know, backflips are nice, but if you just do 25 backflips in a row, no one cares anymore. And just go up and get another glass of wine. And you know. So I will say, I suppose, watching wrestling on TV is much different to running live wrestling shows. Now, I've been doing that for 5 years, so like I'm coming into a completely different angle, and I'm like, oh, they're not interacting with the audience of 20,000 people, so it's completely different based on like the shows that we run in a working men's club, which are like 300 people, and you have to move out of the way because someone's flying at you. But yeah, AEW's fine, absolutely fine. Oh yeah, that face. Okay, come on, tell me why I should love it. Tell me why.
I think so. I am obviously a massive wrestling fan. I just think that two of the big companies, WWE, AEW, have just got their different styles, and I really appreciate AEW because they're very much invested in wrestling. We're going to be wrestling. This is what we do. We wrestle, and the matches they have are 5-star matches, whereas compared to WWE, I've grew up with WWE / WWF, and I'm invested in their storytelling. I appreciate what they do. I don't appreciate some of their politics, but we appreciate their storytelling and how evolved the wrestling in women's division has become. I feel like they're the pioneers for women's wrestling, apart from Japan. If we're talking mainstream, then yeah, I just think AEW needs to catch up with the women's division.
Not all the women need to make like Kate. I watched one last night. They were just like snogging each other,
and I was like, Tony Storm. Yeah.
And I mean, like, this is great, but why are there no men snogging each other? Come on, guys, equality. It's 2024. Men can snog. It's fine.
I know.
It doesn't have to be women.
I think that's the one thing I feel about just wrestling in general. They still haven't really come onto par about LGBTQIA+ like rights. Like whenever ring announcers are doing their commentary or like doing like their announcements, they're always just like, ladies and gentlemen. I'm like, no, it's ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between.
Come on. Well, also, wrestling has got a really large queer audience, and I hate to break it to lots of people, but wrestling is very gay, and that's fine. And we should enjoy like the flowers in life. We doesn't need to all be just like boring bald men in like sad, angry bald men with little pants. Like, I think that's the other thing that I have struggled with in wrestling in recent years as well, is just like knowing there's so much flamboyance in the world and so much more interesting characters, but we still just keep seeing angry men. And that stories that angry, and they can be amazing wrestlers, but like, just broaden it a bit, because you're, it's in representation is massive, you know. And like, there is, even like you say, even like addressing your audience, like acknowledge who your audience is, or at least educate like the 45% of wrestling viewers who are under 18 that like lots of different people watch wrestling. It's not just like men and women. It's very nice that they've got to the point where they now say ladies and gentlemen. So you know, slow clap for that. But I don't know. It's
a slow progression.
I feel like it got stalled with like everything in the whole world. It got really stalled with the pandemic. Like, I feel there was a real surge towards like a lot more visibility, and specifically like in indie wrestling in like London, it was getting really exciting. Everything was getting much more diverse and like punk, and it was getting like a real more, like there was loads more in the mix. And then obviously pandemic happened, and then we had like weird performance art with no audiences for a bit, which was like probably when I stopped watching the WWE actually. And I was like, oh, this is just Pornhub, guys. Okay. But yeah, so I think that's, I suppose, what I should also say and bring me on to Restable is that when I was wrestling, I was aware of how I was part of a community of underrepresented wrestlers, like women and also queer people, and also bodies that didn't necessarily fit these quite heteronormative styles. And like loads has changed since 2012, like the women's revolution, like just so much. But there was never like a place, like I knew I was never going to be a champ, and that's okay. And but you kind of learn to be a wrestler in order to win belts and be part, like no one does it just to kind of hide in the shadows, you know. It's too painful just to be a hobby. So I think that Restable basically came out of meeting loads of other people who had cool ideas and had loads of talent, but not necessarily like a space to express themselves freely. And then creating like a safe space for all of those weirdos. And that's really what we have become. Even though like it's never going to be as popular or massive as like these larger shows, because, you know, not everyone wants to watch, for example, like a retelling of Midsummer's Night Dream of Wrestlers, but lots of people do, and lots of people are going to enjoy it on Bank Holiday weekend. So I think that even though wrestling is becoming like technically more amazing, like I always worry like the ability for wrestlers to be stupid is being lost, which I do think is like a very important part of doing it, because I don't think that you can really get the audience to believe you unless you're willing to make a complete tit of yourself. And that is one of the most, like Cassandra Exotico told me once, like your ego is not your amigo. And that's basically what I tell myself, is like, you've got to be humble. And that means sometimes looking like a dickhead. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that we do in a professional creative field, that how you can't take everything too seriously all the time? Otherwise it will get to a point of bitterness and envy and all the dark stuff that comes with this industry that we call performing arts. There is such a dark cloud of it. You have to have some light. You have to have some light-hearted stuff to try and keep you going and keep you having fun with it. And that's why I really love Restable. So since we are onto the subject of Restable, I was going to get into your husband, but we'll get onto that later. Don't worry, I've not forgotten. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Restable. So 5 years? 4 years?
Four years. Well, I've been running
Restable. Not including the pandemic, obviously.
Yeah. So Restable has been an idea for about, we're on Restable number 4. So we've been running for 3 years, but I've been making running shows for 5. I started off I wrote a wrestling show about my experiences with postnatal depression, which obviously got funded by the Arts Council. So well done, Arts Council, for funding that important art. But it was basically the first idea behind it was an experiment, was because I don't know how many people told you this, but running wrestling shows is freaking expensive, because you've got to get a ring, you've got to pay everyone properly. You're looking at a grant before you even break even or start making a profit. Which is why so many wrestling companies fold, because you have to sell out constantly or have lots of people not being paid enough money. So Restival, I was like, well, if someone's covering like the fee of the like the venue, the ring hire, the tech, and you give everyone like 600 quid, like what will happen? And the answer is chaos, fun chaos for 3 days. So that's how it started. And like looking back now, like the first Restival we had, it was like me filling two slots just because it was part of like the Arts Council kind of gig. I had NHS Smackdown, which is a show that I produced with Rich T's show about being a nurse on the front lines of the pandemic. And then we have Mythos Ragnarok, which some people may have heard of, that enormous international monster. So we had that. But then we also had this club, we had Everything Patterns, Roy Johnson's like POC. I don't know why I'm explaining that to you. We literally hosted it once. You've literally been in it. And like the Head Drop. So just like three solid wrestling shows. And yeah, like the Pleasant Theatre put us up as a chance. I loved it so much because it was just so different to what is being provided in the wrestling indie scene currently, and also what they provide in their theatre. So yeah, we've been doing it. Yeah, it's the fourth one. It's the first one where we haven't had Arts Council safety net, which is where everyone in the arts is feeling at the moment, and it's fine. Welcome to actual real life wrestling business. Theory. I can confirm there is no money in this. You just have to be insane. But yeah, like it's just 70 or so people, like drag performers, wrestlers, like MCs, hosts, all just hanging out in the Pleasance and making crazy shows for 3 days. And I love it. And I think for some people who come because they think it's going to be like a big high profile booking can turn. Get quite disappointed because it's like, no, this is not high profile booking. You're going to have to dress as like an Egyptian and wear a bed sheet and pretend it's a toga, but you will be pushing yourself creatively, because I think that's the other reason. Like Warm Vertigo's in it in our show like next Friday, which is ridiculous, and he's going to be like, and Spike Trevay has been on it, Nina Samuels has been on it, like we could do some quite impressive name dropping at Restival. And that's what they all do, is because it's pushing you out of your comfort zone, you know? Like, in wrestling training, you learn lots of cool moves, and you'll learn match structure, and you'll learn how to be an incredible indie wrestler, and then hopefully you'll get more from experience. You have a good trainer, they'll teach you how to kind of play with storylines. But in terms of actually pushing yourself to be a completely different character, you spend so long crafting your gimmick, to go and do something completely bonkers in front of a live crowd, and get paid and have a good, like, have a nice sort of relatively well-produced experience, it's not available. It's just not. So it's kind of like it's a sort of learning experiment, I suppose, for quite a lot of the people. But we do. Some people hate it. Some people are like, no, this is, I've crafted my gimmick and this is too weird for me. But lots and lots, and increasingly lots of big names have been quite interested in giving it a go. A bit like Panto, I guess.
Yeah, we've always said that wrestling is a bit like panto anyway, haven't we? It's always been the thing, like panto, but like drag, and it's obviously got elements of all different types of performance in it. And I really, first time I was involved in Restival, I was obviously nervous as always, but whenever I do anything for the first time, especially when it comes to wrestling, but was so honored to, number one, be involved, but number two, be involved with shows such as Fist Club and Everything Pattern, because of what it represents of the diversity within wrestling, and having an exclusive, unique space for those shows to be able to be there and to show off the talents of those wrestlers, but also to show off those talents of those wrestlers in a different setting where it doesn't have to be serious. It can just be a bit of fun. And not taking yourself so seriously. And it does feel like, obviously, like a little wrestling festival, which is obviously what it's aimed at, which is quite fun to have on a bank holiday, but also where wrestlers can just take a moment and just have fun.
Have a pizza after a show.
Have a pizza, have some fun, have a drink, and just like have banter. Like when I'm backstage, it's always a great vibe. And everyone's having a really lovely time. And then you come out and share at the end, which we need to talk about. Where did the share? Okay, right. So I've never asked you this.
Okay, all right. Come on.
I've seen the share obviously in Fist Club, referee share, we love a bit of it. But where did this come from?
So share is my gateway drug into wrestling, I think. I think that's what happened. I got so same boyfriend I broke up with, but I started wrestling. So I broke up with this guy. And basically I stayed on someone's sofa and I was really upset, and they were like, you know what you need? You need share. And I was like, okay. And I was like, what, that woman who had plastic surgery and sung Believe with a robot voice? And they were like, she's so much more than that. And I was like, oh, yeah. And they showed me Mac, and then I couldn't sleep. My Wikipedia'd share. And if you've ever Wikipedia'd share, it's, oh, it's a tome. She has done so much. She's the first woman to get a video. She was the first person to get a video banned on MTV. Like, she was the first woman to show her belly button on American television because it was illegal before that. She's had three husbands. And she changed her name legally to just Cher, like Boudica. She's the first person to do that. Like, she's EGOT. I can't. I've just had a double espresso. Don't ask me about Cher. But it's more that she's just amazing. And she doesn't take herself too seriously. And, like, one thing she always says is, if it doesn't matter in 5 years, it doesn't matter. So it's like, try something. Is it going to matter in 5 years? No, probably not. If it does, yeah, give it some more consideration. But most things don't matter in 5 years. So she's done all of these things and they've led her to become Cher because she's just ready to kind of try new stuff. So that was mainly it. Is I basically got obsessed with Cher. And then yeah. I got obsessed with wrestling. So Cher took a little backseat. But then I got injured and realised that I couldn't wrestle. And I had all of this knowledge about Cher that I needed to impart on someone. So I made a cabaret night called I Need to Share, which was basically a 90 slide presentation about Share and cabaret hidden in it. And that's how it began. Yeah, so I kind of ran I Need to Share for a bit, which is how I probably got the production warehouse to run my own wrestling shows. But I just love her. Like, she's just such a badass. She's like an unhench China. I love her. And yeah. I think that the other thing is, the reason that I ref as her is because I realized recently I find it very difficult to be on stage as myself. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, talking's fine, like this,
yeah,
but on stage I'm self-deprecation, I look like Chucky. Whereas Cher, it's like any drag persona, isn't it? You just put it on. And of course, she wouldn't actually be a wrestler. Like, she's too important for that. Of course, she'd be in charge of the whole show. So,
exactly. But
yeah, I mean, I'm obsessed with Cher, wrestling, and Sasquatch. Those are like my three special subjects. I'm quite interested to know what I'm going to get into next. And I'll probably try and make a Arts Council wrestling show about it. That's usually what happens to get it out of the system, make it into a wrestling show. Carry on. But yeah, cheers.
In terms of Restival itself, how would you describe Restival for people who've never been before and potentially you're looking for something new? How would you sell Restival to the audiences out there?
If you have never seen wrestling live, or the only reference you have to wrestling is watching the WWF, forget it and just come and have a fun night of entertainment. You're going to see stuff you weren't expecting to see, and it's only 20 quid, and you're going to see a lot of very impressive bodies, very impressive physical feats, and lots of drag and lots of cabaret all in one night. There's nothing else in the world like it, and it's only on 6 days a year. So that, and then anyone who does like wrestling, I'll be like, yeah, but wouldn't you like to see a wrestling match that is, you know, a whole, like, you know, one watch a show of women's wrestling set in a post-apocalyptic future, and then in the interval they turn into men. Wouldn't you want to see that? And the answer is yes, I would like to see it. So it's quite hard to kind of explain what Restival is. It's just that we put the ring in fringe theatre. Like, we are what happens if you give wrestlers a bunch of time and money. Like, what do we create when we're not being told what we need to make?
Yeah.
And like, that's really it. You get to see the creative excellence of wrestlers without, like, you know, showing their skills in different ways. And that's what it is. It's not a wrestling show run by, you know, some person in a suit or someone who just, like, loves wrestling. Like, it's run by wrestlers and the weird wrestlers. So yeah, like, yay. I love it for that reason. Yay! Come join us! It's great here.
It's all great.
And violence.
You are virtually the head of the table today. So I have given you the task of who would you bring to a dinner party when you are the virtual head of the table. So who free would you bring?
So I spent ages thinking about this because I really... So the first person would probably be Cher, just because I've never been in the same room as her. But then I would be incredibly starstruck and unable to speak and not know what to do. So I'd probably invite... my best friend Rebecca Biscuit, who's the comedian at Hertfordshire Theatre, because she loves Cher and she's very charming and really funny and knows what to say. I've known her since I was 12, so she would be good. She'll look after me while I'm doing this at Cher. And then the third person, I think, would be Bigfoot, if Bigfoot's real. And then if Bigfoot isn't real, Cassandra Exotico, because he's great. And we always have dinner with him. He's great. But yeah, she won't believe me that Bigfoot's real, and she won't actually watch any Bigfoot documentaries that I send her. So that would just be like a, you know, ha, he is real. Here he is. They're having dinner with you. Or they, I don't know. Assume the gender of Bigfoot. That's very progressive, isn't it?
I'll assume, yeah.
What would the chat be like? You know, how would they eat? What would me share Rebecca or just be staring at Bigfoot? And that would just be something, an experience we share together. You know, that's the kind of thing. Make it a real event for the world.
I love it.
No, yeah, there you go.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. That's a very unique dinner party that I would love to see. And in fact, I would like to see that in a wrestling match. I want to see that. I want to see like
Cher, Beck and me in Fastball. Yeah. I will. Yeah, book, mate. Book. Yeah, full September. Full I'm in charge. I booked that.
So we're going back to how you met your husband in the ring. How sexy was it? Let's give us the gossip before we end.
So my husband is a normal sized man. So for wrestling, he's a very small wrestler, and he is most famous as being a monkey faced luchador. He would often wear tiny little furry pants and would often come to the ring with one of his bollocks showing on purpose. So that's a man I married and chose to have children with. And it got to a point where he was injured and quite often he's incredibly skilled. He ran up a wall to impress me once. And I was like, yep, great. You can do a backflip. You can run up a wall. Nice. Have my children. This is it. That's the man I married. So he's really skilled. But he was at my first training. He was my first training session, and he wore a flying squirrel onesie. So I was like, "Well, you're interesting." And then one day, I went around his house. This sounds so cheesy. I went around his house to practice wrestling, and he put me in an arm lock. And I was like, "Oh God, I'm gonna have children." That's it. And then we had sex, woke up, married, as it should be. He's great. He's an amazing. The Lord's work, mate. He was in a real, I think in some ways, my love for wrestling comes from someone like Fraser, because you have someone that is so passionate and so humble and so caring and so skilled. But, you know, he's 5'5". And I remember when I met him, he was trying to put on weight, and he was literally every 6 hours, like drinking 2 pints of milk, eating 3 tins of tuna. And I was like, why are you doing this to yourself, dude? Like, this is, you know, at that point, it was like, you're never going to be champ. But everyone would agree, he's met Fraser or seen him wrestle, it's just like, he steals the show because he's amazing. And that's why all those kind of wrestlers that maybe you're never going to see on TV or never going to be champs, they're still incredible to watch. They're the ones that make you keep coming back to wrestling shows because they tell stories. So we should have more space for them. But also, he can't wrestle anymore because he just got dropped on his head too many times.
When you talk about him having his bollocks out, I've seen it.
I've got a video of it. All right, so you've seen my husband's ball. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. And you took a video of it. Memorable,
of
right?
Of course, I'm taking a video of it. I'm gonna have to try and find that now. I'm gonna have to send that to
you. I married him. Yeah. So yeah, that was his claim to fame. What can I say? Like, I mean, at the time I was pretending to be a poisonous frog woman called Rana Venenosa, whose like finisher was called the Cump Drop. So, you know, Lucha Britannia, look it up. It's great.
I know, we used to go all the time, and now I've made, because obviously I've known you for quite a while now, I've never put two and two together. But I've been watching you in the ring.
Yeah.
You and your husband.
Yeah, getting our issues out in the ring. You know, couples that plan to get to stay together. But the worst thing is, we've got two kids, so imagine what they're going to tell. Like, Jesus.
I'm so going to have to tell Bart this later.
Yeah, please do. And please send me the video of his ball sack, because I really can't wait to show him. I'd be like, see? We planned a video of him getting knocked out at Kapow Comic Convention. It was like his first match. He got knocked out for 6 hours.
Oh, and, shit.
He's fine now. It was ages ago, before we met properly. But yeah, like, we found it, and it was hilarious watching it back, because there was this moment where everyone was like, oh, and he was supposed to win the match, and watching all these wrestlers in front of a crowd of like 300 people at Comic Convention suddenly like quietly wheel out an unconscious man and give him medical attention, but then carry on doing a wrestling show where the entire finish has changed and pulling it off. It's just like, chef's kiss. Apart from obviously my husband having probably brain damage, but you know, dad's good personality, so yeah.
Well, I always like to say that you are the hardest woman on the indie circuit. When it comes to Wrestlehall especially, I just want to give you a massive hug and tell you to
please
go sleep for a week. But we thank you so much for being on this episode, and I will see you at Wrestlehall. Ladies and gentlemen, between please. Please thank our lovely, amazing guest, Heather.
Yay. Thank you. Buy ticket. Thank you. Wrestle Club
Podcast. Right, what a lovely chat with Heather that was.
Yes, it was. Obviously, you wasn't there present, is it?
I really enjoyed that, though.
It was really good. I really like the bit when you speak about
Wrestle. The two guys, no. You've both publicly said they don't listen to this podcast if they're not on the episode. Or even if they're on the episode, they're still not listening to the fucking show.
I've never listened to this book.
I listened to it when I looked at the video for a bit to make sure it was okay. But I love how Heather was talking about Restival.
Yeah, please do again.
Look at me. I did.
You're psychic, that's why.
Because we'll be appearing at Restival.
Yes, exactly, we'll be there on the 2nd of May, keep saying, along with Mike Bird from Catch 22.
I love
with some amazing
guest.
Wrestlers to do Lethal Lottery, which is our 7 o'clock show. And then the 9 o'clock show will be Jerry Bakewell's Cabaret Show. So you get two tickets for the more or less for the price of one. Two shows, two amazing wrestling events happening on the same day. You might as well. It's £20.
That's so good.
So good
to see six wrestlers in three matches, plus Jerry Bakewell's entire show, plus me and Richard on commentary, Danny Libs in the crowd, you swanning about doing whatever it is you do. I assume a referee as well.
And also, I would argue, you're letting him on commentary and he's going to slag you.
I've been informed that I can say whatever I want.
That is true.
I'm going to get slated, basically, because we all know Mark hates me on this podcast.
We won't be asked back.
No, I think. Well, the thing is, at Wrestleball,
you lot won't be asked back.
No, that's true. No, I reckon me and
she's a very good ring announcer.
If you come, you have got genuinely two of the most knowledgeable people on the podcast on commentary. You've got the fucking head of the table introducing everyone. You've got the fluffy boys being manic, running around and just chatting to you all. What more could you want?
They're not going to be medicated for the day. That's how manic they're
going to
be.
I'm not taking any meds. Any.
I am, but I'm going the other way with it.
So am I.
Yes. Please do come join us.
£20.
£20, 2nd of May. The link is in our Instagram bio as well as our in this podcast bio as well. So please do click the link now.
I might get a ticket as well.
For the show that you're
was that good? Yeah, was that good? I might just get a ticket and watch for a bit.
Okay. Let Ibs bring Mumsy.
Oh, she won't. No,
bring Mumsy.
My mum?
Yeah.
She come hang out with you, meet Shakira.
Come meet Shakira.
I don't know if my mum. Like, oh my God, Dan, are they eating everyone? I'm like, yeah, mum, come on. It's okay.
I might bring my mum.
You and your mum. Should we all bring our mums? Everyone bring your mums.
Considering that my mum and dad surprised me and came to my solo show at Soho Theatre.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Oh no, it was very interesting.
Did they enjoy it?
They probably did enjoy it.
Probably.
They did enjoy it, but it was slightly off-putting because I talk about a lot of things in my show that they don't know about.
So. And you were like, if I knew you were here.
Yeah, if I knew you were here.
My mum raised her hand once in a gig to correct me on a story I had told.
That didn't actually happen. You're like,
no creative license in the cram.
Right, let's get into it, shall we? AEW Dynasty, let's talk about it. The big pay-per-view of the week. It was showcased with two epic matches. I would say the top of the card was going to be the World Heavyweight Championship match, as well as Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
The American Dragon.
Did anyone watch the pre-show?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
I don't just mean on this podcast either. No one.
I did.
Why?
Hashtag. I was recently talking to someone that I've just been chatting to.
Yeah.
Right, well, that sounds flirty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And I had said that how I feel like I'm the only one on the podcast that watches like 10 hours of wrestling full beginning to end. Because he was like, I don't even watch Raw fully from beginning to end. He watches the highlights. So I was like, well, you don't watch the whole thing. He was like, no. And I was like, wow, okay.
I love that she's telling us a story and all me and Danny are sitting here going, it's like, who's she talking to?
Yeah. Like, we're like, it's cool what he said, but also who is this?
What's man? Their name? Who's this mystery wrestling going new man in her life?
Yeah. Just a friend.
Just a friend.
Okay, anyway, I watched the pre-show.
You say he's just a friend.
I didn't realise you knew that song. Okay, cool.
His name is Joe Hendry.
I'm into rap.
He's not a rapper, but... Okay.
Is that rap?
No, it's R&B.
Oh, whatever.
Same.
At the pre-show for AEW Dynasty. I watched the pre-show because she's sad like that. But also, I had just came home from Brighton and it was on. The six-man tag team championship... unification match between Bullet Club Gold, Bang Bang.
Oh, that's why you watched it.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it.
And Billy Gunn and The Acclaimed. There you go. Scissor. She remembers it. Pow, 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 pow. Scissor Club.
Scissors.
Was actually really, really good.
Does any sense to sum up AEW more though than unifying the 2 6-man tag team championships?
Well, yeah, it's Ring of Honor, isn't it? It's the Ring of Honor one and the AEW one. Yeah. Let's put them together.
There's too many guys. We've got to amalgamate some of these titles. Let's start with the 2 different 6-man titles we have.
I know. It was two different companies.
Let's put them together.
2 different companies.
Yeah, no. Oh, but it was a really good intro for the pay-per-view. I was actually surprised they were not on the main card.
Yeah, I would assume that would have been.
It was a shorter main card than usual for AEW, I think.
It was.
Which was sensible because they are
but it was still long.
That's because the matches were long.
Yeah. It was still massively long. But congratulations to Bullet Club Gold, Bang Bang, because they are now unified 6-man tag team champions.
6 plus 6, they're now the 12-man tag team champions.
Yeah. Mm. I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do with the belts, if they're actually going to like.
Change them up or something.
Unify them, or if they're just going to stay separate.
Oh, I fucking hope they don't stay separate.
Because it's just like 6 belts. Just...
It's a lot of belts to carry.
Yeah.
Who are they? Ultimo Dragon or Nina Samuels?
Hey.
Mm. Nina's got a lot of belts right now.
A lot of belts she's got. We kicked it off with the AEW Continental Championship, which was Okada versus Pac.
Yeah. Good match. I liked it.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I actually did.
Okay.
Like, so, full disclosure, I actually watched... This is the most of an AEW pay-per-view I've watched since All In. Because obviously we watched All In together and you wouldn't let me skip any of it. And it was my birthday. How rude. But yeah, we watched all of that. But no, this is the first one I've watched on my own. I've actually enjoyed majority of the matches in its entirety. That was a great match. I love Pac.
Love Okada, obviously.
Yeah.
It's very sort of AEW in the sense of it's two really elite workers working against each other, but not really for any particular reason other than that there's a title. Or they're just a lot of AEW's bookers seem to be, these two will have a really great match, and they will, but that's not what people remember and what people want to see. It was great. It was a great match. Pac is exceptional. Okada is exceptional. Pac's been underutilized in AEW, I think, for quite a long time.
But he was injured for a long time, wasn't he?
He was, but then he came back and they didn't do a lot with him. And like, I think Pac should get a push somewhere. Obviously, he's not going to get off the back of losing to Okada. Not losing to Okada is damaging, but it's just a bit like, okay, it's happened. Again, really good match. Okada won. Didn't anyone ever think Okada wasn't going to win?
You had the sort of like, reaction from Pac at the end, though. Like, I always feel like when they kind of focus in on like a wrestler being overly sad or a bit pissed off or whatever,
you feel like it's going to turn.
Like, in my head, when I looked at that, I was like, is he leaving? Because obviously I don't watch the product that much. Right. Like, but I was a bit like, oh, maybe is his contract up?
You know
maybe.
What?
But then I was a bit like, oh, or is this like a turn? Is it something?
I feel
it
like
seemed something. It seemed like something. And I'm not
I feel like
quite
he might
sure.
turn him back into the bastard.
Honestly, if he is leaving, I think he's a WWE guy all over. In the current climate as it is now, I think he would benefit from going back.
Where would you fit him in there, though?
I don't know exactly where, but he would. You just put like this. What the crowd are enjoying right now is work like Pac and WWE, especially you add the character element to it as well. Triple H loves him, obviously, from the Neville days in NXT. I think he was not a Vince guy, but I think him and Aleister Black are the two I look at in that company and go, they would benefit from going back.
Yeah.
I think they would do well if they
I'd went. Also even argue, don't know his name in AW, but Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy.
I'd argue him as well. Like,
I think the whole of House of Black could move to WWE. Well,
the thing is, they're trying to deal with fucking Karrion Kross, innit? And I'd rather that be House of Black.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
if you copy and pasted them and took out Aleister Black's group, I can't remember what they're called.
House of Black.
No, not House of Black. Sorry, Karrion Kross's group, what are they called?
Oh, the... whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. If you took them out and put House of Black in that situation with Bobby Lashley and Street, people would care more.
Yeah.
So like, because they're just more engaging, I think, as wrestlers.
And speaking of the House of Black,
which is our next actual match.
Look at me.
It was the House of Black versus Eddie Kingston, Adam Copeland, and Mark Briscoe, and the ending to this match was very interesting. I think we know what our next. Contender will be for Edge's championship because Aleister Black did pin Adam Copeland.
Spit in his face as well, didn't he?
Gave him the mist, gave him a round kick, pinned him. One,
love that round
two,
kick, man.
Three. I love the House of Black. We all know I love the House of Black.
And he should pin him again. He should pin him again for the title.
I really want him to win the title.
Aleister Black is an exceptional talent. If Edge is there, he should be looking to help put over younger guys. Yeah. And Aleister Black's probably one of the best talents in the business that's not really got a sustained singles push at any point.
We talk about people, companies not utilizing their talent. I think this is one of them. Like the things he does with House of Black within the company is so unique. They're so talented individually as well as a group.
Also, he looks like he would straight up murder you.
Yeah, all of them
like,
do.
I'm not even think about it. You know, it's like he just
all of them do.
I was trying to think of a pro wrestler who looks more like a killer than Aleister Black does.
I would like him to see. I would like him to roundhouse kick
Malachi
Danny.
Black. What are we calling him?
Me?
Malachi. We keep calling him Malachi. Sorry, we're dead naming him.
You want him to fucking roundhouse kick me?
Yeah, well, I want Malachi Black to do it.
Why?
Just because I want to see your reaction.
I'll take it. I'll sell it like Dolph Ziggler. Oh, Nick Nemeth.
We are so tired. We are dead naming everyone on this podcast.
I'll take one.
Well, the next match is our first women's match of the night, which was Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart for the TBS Championship.
I skipped it.
Once again, Danny shows his respect for women's wrestling.
I just don't know him. I don't know him. I had no interest. I watched the little promo package. I just didn't care.
It wasn't the longest match.
Was
that the shortest thing on the card? I think it was.
Yeah, I didn't skip much.
I think it was the shortest thing on the card.
Willow won. I watched the ending.
Mercedes Monet came out.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Like, I skipped to the end of the match. I saw the ending. Good on him, I suppose. And I saw Mercedes come out and I watched a bit of that.
I'm glad that Mercedes Monet's sort of going to finally start doing something as opposed to sort of being around.
She should sort of was around then.
But it seems like now the around is going somewhere.
I'll tell you what it was. I was kind of surprised that Willow won just because of the week before Mercedes getting attacked with a blackout. Mm. I just assumed it was Julia Hart. I think we all would assume it was Julia Hart. Mm. And I think if it does come out that it was in fact Willow, it would be quite fun.
Do you like a twist?
Do you love a twist? Because coming into the next pay-per-view, which is Double or Nothing at Vegas, and I'm missing it by like 2 weeks.
Oh, because you're going to Vegas.
Yeah, going to Vegas.
Yeah. So just getting married in Vegas?
Yeah,
to this guy,
the Monday Night Raw guy.
Yeah. Well, you had your chance to marry me last year and you didn't want to, so it's
okay. I threw up on you instead.
Yeah, you threw up on me instead.
True story. good story.
We both thrown up in front of you. That's hilarious.
Yeah, you thrown up in front of me. He's thrown up on me.
On you.
Oh, physically wow. On her.
Mark's physically.
Look at us.
That's fuck
how you,
off.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you assert your dominance over somebody else. Vomit on them. Show them who's boss.
And that's how also you get yourself booked on a new podcast. Just vomit in front of someone who is going to start a podcast and they'll go, you know what?
Come you know on. What the podcast need? People that vomit.
people that vomit.
I don't know what Ibs and Richard's vomit status is like, to be honest.
Well, you know what?
No. What you need from Ibs is to fall asleep on a motel floor after going to a foam party.
Yeah.
Just to a foam party. We're adults. Yeah, fair enough. Sounds about right.
Listen, the fluffy boys
love a foam party.
Just for full context, we went back to the hotel. I said to Ibs, I really want a kebab. And then we walked into town to find a kebab. And on the way to find a kebab, we found a foam party. And we went in. We both hated it. I did a Roman Reigns TikTok.
It was actually really
my
funny.
Tribal chief. I did that. Red Scott Chili Peppers. Fucking look at it, dickheads. And then... We both got home. I dried my shoes with a hairdryer the night before and Ibs woke up in the morning and went, no, that's a good idea, actually. And then he did it as you came in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I came so in with Ibs just hair-drying his shoes.
Oh, we found a bashment rave as well.
Yeah, they found a bashment rave and there's a video that I've posted several times.
A what rave?
Bashment.
Bashment.
Jamaican music.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was the only white guy dancing. It was great.
I feel I'm too old for this now because I feel like something that would excite me more than a foam party is if they brought back CFAX. I feel like that would be more exciting to me.
CFAX?
Oh, what CFAX? There you go.
CFAX. CFAX.
So, teletext.
Is that...
So you know, used to be on old school TVs, you'd press the button and then they'd give you the news like that. So
you CFAX could book holidays.
CFAX was the BBC version of that.
Oh.
And there used to be, and this will be something for old wrestling fans, on Teletext page, I can't remember the page, it was like 483 or something, someone will know it, some nerd will know it out there. They used to have wrestling gossip news on Teletext or on the CFAX, and it used to be just the most random made up shit. It'd be like, Sting's going to wrestle Hulk Hogan. Well, that should not happen, you know what I mean? It
was all also just give us props here, right? I started talking about phone parties. I went, oh, we've really gone off topic. Like, we have really got that. And somehow, we've got back to wrestling.
Yeah, you go.
That's why his main event, Mark Grab. Talking about teletext. He's like, actually, wrestling, mate.
Look, right into the podcast. And if you remember the teletext gossip page about pro wrestling, it was absolutely mad. I can't remember some of the things that were on there, but they were never, none of them ever happened.
I've also seen the age demographic of our audience. I don't think we're going to get any messages.
I know we do.
Do we?
We do.
No, but about teletext.
Yeah.
You get messages about teletext.
Yeah. Maybe not teletext, but I'm sure. I bet you any money.
I reckon after this we might.
How much do you want to bet?
A fiver?
Yeah, cool.
That's one of Count Binface's pledges, is he will bring back CFAX if he becomes London mayor.
Oh, wait, sure. So is CFAX...
Got my vote.
So is CFAX the same? Sort
CFAX,
of
CFAX is BBC's teletext.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did say, sorry.
Cool. We're back onto the subject of AEW Dynasty.
Also, if someone comments in now, they're just going to lose me a fiver, dickheads.
Yes, please.
Richard will. I guarantee you Richard will comment about teletext
he
and CFAX.
Count. He don't
and
count.
We'll end up talking about Channel 4's Bat Quiz Bamboozle on Channel 4.
Shit.
Used to play that every Sunday. Sunday morning was sports morning.
Yes.
And every other day was quiz. Yeah.
Bamboozle.
Bamboozle. Hosted by Bamba Boozler, a yellow man.
Daddy's like...
No idea what you're
talking about. Anyway. Well, we'll figure out what will happen with Willow and Mercedes Moné at the next pay-per-view, which is, like I said, double or nothing. The next match was for the International Championship between Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. It's a very technical match.
They got some history.
Yeah,
history. They've worked together a lot. I'm a big Roderick Strong fan.
They kept making reference to Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
In this.
Because he wears shitty little boots like Dean Malenko. Yeah. Shout out to the Progress Wrestling fans who remember Roderick Strong's shitty little boots. That was a big when he did Super Strong Style 16. There was a lot of shitty little boots chants at Roderick Strong. Shitty little boots, shitty little boots.
Yeah. See, this is why we need more wrestling fans in London, man. Yeah. We're so great. But yeah, it was a good match. We got a little... wheelchair moment, didn't we? Little miracle moment at the end.
Yeah, well, yes. Roderick Strong retained his championship.
What I love about that is him just coming out in the wheelchair. He stands up and everyone goes, "Is it Chip Rock? It's a miracle!" I'm like, he's injured.
It's the second best getting out of a wheelchair spot I've seen since Linda McMahon at WrestleMania 17.
Linda McMahon will always be number one.
That go back and watch. I think I said about this, but go back and watch the Pop for Linda. It's absolutely crazy.
The last 5 minutes of that match are the best.
There's a sentence I
ever.
Didn't think I would hear today. The Pop for Linda.
The Pop for Linda getting out. It, like the Adam Cole getting out of the wheelchair is nothing compared to the Linda McMahon getting out of the wheelchair.
He wishes he was Linda McMahon.
Linda McMahon has got more genuine emotion from a crowd than Adam Cole ever will. Linda McMahon, baby.
Can you imagine? Wait. I want that as a t-shirt. I want Linda McMahon. I think it's like Linda McMahon, baby.
Top. I'm going to message Sam,
but like, listen.
But she's sadly a bit of a Make America Great Again.
Yeah, she's a Trump fan.
Yeah, but that t-shirt would be funny though. It's a good t-shirt.
We'll figure out what happened next with the Undisputed Kingdom, because there seems to be a bit of tension with Wardlow and Adam Cole.
I mean, is this the start of the 17th Wardlow abandoned push that we're going
to... I saw this. He came in and just like gave him the weirdest side eye. Like, like when I'm at a bar and I'm like I'm just talking to a girl who's there. And then like my girlfriend walks in and just goes, "Who the fuck are you talking to?" That kind of look. He gave him such a dirty look.
So Danny's just revealed how he broke up with his girlfriend.
No.
Danny got cut.
I am Wardlow. No.
You fucking wish. Let's be honest, we all do.
I would rather be on Wardlow, but that's a different story. Right.
I'd rather be in Wardlow. That was too much, wasn't it? Let's tag him, see how he feels about it.
What a hot tag that
hot
is.
Hot tag.
Hot tag.
Okay.
For the love of God. He's broken in there.
Next, we're going to go into. God, I keep saying into and now I'm going back to thoughts. Okay. Next, we're going to go on to...
You know what? Actually, I think we might be the only wrestling podcast who's ever talked about fucking Wardlow.
Yeah, you know what? We're keeping it real up.
Wait, time out. If you think Wardlow is fit, let me know.
Wardlow is fit?
Wardlow is fit.
What?
Listen, I'm a straight man, but he makes my ovaries twitch.
Wardlow-veries.
Okay.
Sorry, I derailed you actually trying to host the podcast.
It's been the most derailed episode. And I think also because it's now video, you can't edit as much and you're like, you've just got to let
I'm enjoying it. I'm having a great time.
I'm
not even drunk today.
The next one, which I think is probably the most controversial one on the bill in terms of what's happened, is Chris Jericho defeats Hook for the FTW Championship. Why?
Because it's a title that Chris Jericho hasn't held yet, and he must have all of the titles.
Yeah, basically.
Gosh.
And he fucking did the whole "I'm sorry" before the Judas Effect and all that shit. Like,
also, can we just talk about? I don't like his entrance. Can we just go back to Judas?
Why is can we just go back to Judas, music? Please? How long has he been doing this music for?
Like a month,
really,
maybe 2 months.
Shit. It's the first time I've heard it. It's shit.
Why have they sort of, was there a reason why they changed it? Have they said?
Well, he started like wrestling a lot of the Mexican wrestlers and went back to his Lionheart persona
and the tights and all that.
So he went back.
But that's okay. But can't you just keep?
You can
keep
the music.
It was sort of the only thing that was still over about his character.
Oh, yeah.
Like the crowd likes that bit, but they're kind of like, no disrespect to him, because obviously he's a fucking legend. Well, he's done is incredible, but he's kind of he's too prominent on the show still now, and he's taking belts off Hook.
Yeah. Which you didn't need.
You know that.
He's not in beef with Taz. Why you don't push Taz?
You know his entrance song? Is that Fozzy as well?
Yeah, it's Fozzy.
Oh, that's a shit one.
Fozzy aren't a good band. Judas was a bit of a banger.
Yeah, Judas was a banger.
But, you know, Mr. Blobby had a number one single, mate. Anyone can not want to
see the clip of Fozzy playing a gig in London. And there was like 80 people there. And they were like, Judas. And Chris Jericho's on playing like Wembley is the funniest video.
I feel like they'd get a bigger crowd if they just advertised it as Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Rather than advertising it for
an audience with Chris Jericho and he just sang. People were like, fair play.
I remember when he first started doing the band, there was an episode of Raw where Cena rapped and he did his song.
Yeah.
Because they were like, And like, even the commentators were like saying how bad Jericho's band was because he was the heel. But like, it's a real band.
Yeah.
So like, he's gone on TV to have his band slated.
He's like, guys, he'll do us really good on promo.
Just so John Cena can do his rapping and make Jericho look bad.
Oh, Lord. Well, I don't know why they've done this.
No one knows why they've done this.
I haven't, I have no idea. You can tell the audience, the crowd were not on par with this. He needs to go either full heel or nothing at all.
You talked about Hulk, like Becky playing the Hulk Hogan card and getting the belt. Maybe people are thinking that. This Jericho's playing. That doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah.
Hulk, it's like...
so weird.
I mean, does Hook... like, Hook losing the belt's not a problem. Like, losing it to Jericho's a problem.
Yeah.
But, like, Hook can go on and do whatever. But, like, it's...
where would you put Hook now, though?
I hope they continue the feud with Jericho, to be honest.
Yeah. I think they should.
I want him to double win it or back nothing off of him and...
double or nothing. Do something stipulation-wise.
If he chokes out Chris Jericho, that's a statement.
Yeah.
But
that's the only value in Chris Jericho, is that he is still a big name to beat.
Like, if we get a bit of an over-the-top, aggressive heel Hook, do you know what I mean, from this?
Yeah.
I know he's a bit of a bastard, he doesn't care. But if we get you know when he took Jericho into the corner after that Taz promo, and like, we get a proper, like, sadistic side of Hook. We get that from this.
He's also fuckable in a different way to Wardlow.
He's more twink energy.
Hook's more my vibe than Wardlow.
What are you on about? He looks like 14.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Don't ruin Hook for
he
us.
He fucking does.
He does,
man.
Look 14.
He looks like a child.
Hook is a handsome boy.
He looks a bit like Danny, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, and I look like a 14-year-old boy. There is, like, we have similar hair when I don't style it. Like, he is not a handsome boy.
Hook or Wardlow? You guys describe.
Yeah, that's what we get from this. We're going to do a poll. Who would you rather fuck, Wardlow or a child? Like, Hook is...
I mean, the options aren't literally Wardlow or a child.
No. It'll be Hook. But like,
otherwise, you will be reported if you vote.
It's a trap.
Next up, we have...
I love how you just moved on from that. That is fair play. But
next up, we have our second women's match, which again can only be for a championship, which is Toni Storm versus...
How many matches on this card were not for a championship?
Were there any?
Three?
Oh, Brian Danielson.
Two.
And,
two. Out of how many matches?
No, I've lied to you. One.
Well, it's just Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay.
Yeah. No,
that's
two.
That's the caliber of match you have to have.
Two. The second six man wasn't for a championship. Oh, right, yeah. So, okay. Two.
So Edge has to be in that.
And how many matches do we have on the card?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's not including pre-show.
So right. Pre-show's a title match as well.
Can I just...
Yeah. 11 matches, just, 9 titles.
I'm going to use this as a reply to one of our reels we had before about there's too many titles.
Too many titles.
And people are going, no, actually it's not. Are you having a fucking laugh?
One was unification. So in 11 matches, there were 10 titles on the line.
That's... like... I know we joke, like, it's not, let's be honest, it's not the biggest issue in the world. It's fine, there can be, but it just loses that fucking...
And also, one of the non-title matches had Adam Copeland, who holds one of the other titles.
Yeah.
So that's 12 titles on, or, no. Sorry, 11 titles on the show. That's mad.
Crazy. I think all the titles were on the show, actually. Yeah, all the titles were on the show.
That's fucking mental.
Yeah, so next we had Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm, with Toni Storm retaining with obviously some interference.
Fucking love Toni Storm.
Oh, we love Toni.
I love the little black and white cuts during the match as well. I'm loving it.
Right decision. Should keep this run should just keep going and going and going.
Well, when does it end? It's a bit like Rio, isn't it?
I want her to beat Roman Reigns. That's how AEW get back at them.
Sometimes you just got to enjoy the ride.
I know. I do like to enjoy a ride. Not since December, but that's not the point. But I would like to. Who's really taking the belt from Tony?
Well, I assume Mercedes eventually will be the plan.
Or you don't think she takes the TBS?
I think she does, but I think Tony keeps that belt for fucking ages.
Okay, fine. Okay, fair play.
Yeah.
Next we have, which I'm going to say, the match of the night. Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
I'm surprised you've said that, you know.
Well, because obviously...
Because I know the result of the main event. And I just feel like for you, the match of the night, regardless of the quality of the match, you'd be like, hey, do you know what I mean?
Like, I know,
But it was the match of the night, wasn't it?
Like, it was a banging.
Incredible.
Two of the best wrestlers.
Osprey. Do anyone else feel that when Americans do an English chant because of us?
Yeah.
It makes me feel a bit weird.
It infuriates me. It's cultural appropriation.
It's a little bit.
But Will Ospreay. Like,
that's ours.
Look, you had a match between the best technical wrestler in the world and the best high flying wrestler in the world, probably. And they were just both absolutely on form. The match was really well paced. It wasn't just spot. We did a lot of slowdown bits. The submission spots were good. The transitions between the submission spots. Will busted out the high spots when he needed to. He wasn't constantly just hitting everything. I am never surprised that Brian Danielson has incredible matches. I'm never surprised that Will Ospreay has incredible matches. It was great. Did they build it up to mean anything? Not particularly. Once again, it's just a case of the gimmick of this match is we're both really good at wrestling. We're going to have a really good match.
Well, they said before,
great.
Didn't they? They were like, when he was just like, it's the dream match.
But,
and everyone
But what's the matter? It's not for a title. It's not elevated. Yeah. Of your 85 titles, you've not even made it, managed to make it a title match.
For clout, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just mad. It's just didn't need it.
And also the ending was quite interesting considering...
That acting, if it was real or not, I generally don't know.
Luckily, he's not injured. Brian's not injured. Apparently, it's part of the storyline moving forward with... Apparently, this is a rumour, with Will being concerned about Brian and then Don Callis being like, what are you doing?
I see. You're showing too much empathy.
Okay. And then this is how I feel the Don Callis family is going to turn because actually... Yeah.
Okay, I see that. But to be fair, when he dropped him down and he, like, again, credit to Bryan Danielson, though, his reaction and how he started if it is a work, the way he started twitching his leg and his arm, I was like, it's
definitely
so good.
Or Will's not fucking lamping him with the forearm.
Yeah, I don't know, like, but for me, I was like, it was incredible storytelling.
I find moves like that very uncomfortable, especially knowing Bryan Danielson's history with neck and concussions.
Yeah.
I don't think that match didn't need that to happen. Mm. You could have finished it any other way you wanted to, but it was gross and I didn't like it. And other than that, it's my only negative thing about the match, because I don't think I need it. And that move is a legit injury risk, and I just don't see the point in it.
Oh, I would argue, talking about cinematic, those bits. Did you see Toni Storm's press conference bit after?
Yes, I did.
Saying that she doesn't rate the cinema of wrestling.
Yes.
For the girl who has black and white moments in her matches. I found that so funny, by the way. Sorry, just to go back to that quick, that was so good. But you said something there that reminded me of that.
Cinematic, though, yeah. Likes the standoff just before the finish where Brian's going to go for the knee and he's...
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
It was
like,
great moves.
And Will beats him to the punch and it's like... Yeah. It was a great wrestling match. I was
he's sizing it up. He just looks at him, takes off his elbow pad. I was like...
Okay. Two more matches to go. We've got Young Bucks versus FTR for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, which was vacated. And I actually didn't know this was going to be a ladder match.
It's the Young Bucks. Everything's a ladder match.
Didn't know it was going to be a ladder match. But again, you've got two of the best tag teams in the world at the moment in this match.
Yeah.
With the surprise of...
Can AEW just let it the fuck go? It's like Jack Perry is not going to draw you a fucking penny. He is not good. He is not interesting. That's why you happily let him go the last time. He is just—he is gonna add no. Yeah, there's a pop for him. Yeah, great, because it's in the news now. No one will give a fuck about Jack Perry in 10 weeks' time.
Ooh, controversial.
If his dad wasn't on Beverly Hills 90210, he wouldn't have a contract in the fucking first place.
Ooh.
I love it so much.
I'm sorry, before the whole CM Punk thing, was anyone really clamoring to go search out Jack Perry's work in Japan? No, I bet you weren't.
Not at all. It's AEW, jumping on that bandwagon. That's why they showed the footage.
It did nothing.
Other than
back up what CM Punk said at that point.
He
already admitted that he was the aggressor and he did it all. And they went, look at this. Okay.
All he did
was make Joe look like a badass for breaking up a fight.
But then, I suppose that's why they showed it.
It now makes sense.
In their head. In AEW's head, I think what's happened is they've shown the video. They've seen the backlash. They know they fucked up. And they're like, the only way to make it make sense, we've shown that video, we need to bring Jack Perry back. But the Young Bucks showed a video. Now it's helped. Jack, I don't know what it is, but it's fucked up.
They've brought a guy back to the company whose only value is to feud with a guy who does not work for that company.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Now you've had your moment. What are you going to do with Jack Perry?
Because he's probably going to just do some fucking promos in the ring that is weird remarks about CM Punk.
I'm assuming that's all he's going to do.
And it won't add a viewer to their fucking show.
I'm assuming he's just joining their league.
No, but on YouTube it will. They'll get views on them. Do you know what I mean?
For a few weeks.
It will, yeah. But also they're competing. So yeah, for a few weeks on socials, AEW will be a bit of a talking point. That's what they kind of actually be needing to do. So I'm not overly angry at them as a product for bringing them in because they got so much heat.
This is Vince Russo-esque late WCW. Let's just throw shit at the wall and hope there's no long-term plan of how they're going to make their show good.
Yeah,
they're giving away Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay straight away. It's why they're giving bringing Jack Perry with no, they have no idea what to
do. Also, I'd argue Jack Perry, his beard is shit as well, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Terrible beard.
And his hair.
Oh, Lord.
Go back to being Jungle Boy. Had the nice little music back again. Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we all enjoyed that. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
We enjoyed that.
We were like, that was nice. Fuck off Killswitch, all that shit. Bring him back.
Can you imagine, Mark, if like next week on Dynamite, he comes out as Jungle Boy, starts dumping his hair.
I would pop for that.
Yeah, I would love it so much.
Well, to close Dynasty, we obviously had our AEW World Heavyweight Championship match, which was Swerve Strickland versus Samoa Joe. Swerve.
I was quite disappointed because I watched a show called Dynasty and waited all night for Joan Collins to come out, and not one Dynasty reference in the entire
not even the theme music.
Tony Storm should have minimum had a fight in a fountain. Minimum should have happened. Right, man, one, it's the right time to put the belt on Swerve. Joe doesn't need it. Joe's had a nice little transitional run.
I will say it. Briefly mentioned it before we started. I don't know if the finish was a botch. It looked like he had Joe on the top rope. He had him ready there for, I don't know what he calls the move, but he jumps and stamps on their shoulders and fucks them up. He looked like he was going for it. He even looked at him as well before he jumped and said something. And he jumped and missed him, gave him a bit of a power bomb, and then did the normal move. I thought they were going for like a big, doing that move off the top rope. So for me, I saw it.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like, has he botched that?
He recovered it well,
and I'm glad Swerve won. But was that a botch?
You might be right, but I think it also might be a case of Joe's got up there and went, nah, actually.
Yeah. You know, when he walked away normally for a move, he just went, fuck off, mate, jump over me. I'm
Samoa Joe, we ain't doing it.
Yeah, as he grabbed his head and said something, he went, you're not doing it.
All we know is Swerve's won. He's the first Afro-American to win AEW Championship, and we love it.
With a super long lineage.
Yeah. I saw a post on Facebook, it was like, finally.
Can we also talk about
three world champions who are all African American descent. We've got Swerve, Hobbs, and Cody Rhodes. And it really made me chuckle.
Can we just talk about obviously the Black Panther entrance?
Yeah.
Great.
That was great.
Oh, I thought you liked that. When I saw it, I was like, yeah, Wakanda Forever. I'm loving it.
Swerve, I think, is like, I know there were some circumstances around his release that ended up not being true. Or whatever it was. We don't need to get into it. But I think that's the biggest miss for WWE in a long time. Someone they had and they could have used and haven't.
Yeah.
I think he's an absolute star. I think he's the right guy to carry that belt. I hope he has a decent long reign with it as well. I don't know who's next for him.
I still hope it's going to be an all-in Will Ospreay versus Swerve.
But Swerve's is a face, right? So like Will, like you do face versus face.
Yeah, but Swerve can be heel.
He's
got the.
But also it's AEW.
Will can be
heel, it's AEW, they don't really care.
They can do whatever they
feel. I mean, I imagine Will is, I don't know if they'll do Will Ospreay for the title at All In necessarily, because they don't need to.
When's Kenny Omega back?
He's actually been scheduled for the 1st of May.
Do you reckon he could be next for Swerve? Because that'll be good for Swerve to go over.
Well, I don't know if he's coming back to announce something because it's in his hometown of Winnipeg.
Oh, okay. Oh.
We'll find out.
But maybe someone like that. Maybe it needs to be someone big who Swerve can get over to sort of
push. We'll see what happens at Money at Double or Nothing. I think that's probably where the next guy.
If you look at what I'm thinking now is you look at what you're saying about Pac's reaction. Mm. I think Pac's like, I need a big win to prove myself. I reckon he might do Pac Ospreay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
because
that'd
it's
be
like
really
Pat, like Pat going, I mean, still the best British wrestler on the planet. And
yeah,
Ospreay is.
I would
two,
love that.
Are they, well, aside from Drew, the two best British workers in the world right now, possibly going at well, Zack Sabre Jr. Two very good British workers.
Yeah. Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne. There's some. All right, let's look. Ireland, we're absolutely smashing it.
Really
good British brothers.
Let us know your thoughts about AEW Dynasty. We want to hear what you thought about the pay per view and what you think is going to happen moving forward as we go into Double or Nothing at Las Vegas. Apart from that, we thank you so much for having listened to this podcast this week. We also appreciate you listening to us every single week, especially those regulars. But please thank Mark Ram.
Hello, thanks for it. It's been a pleasure. And join us at Restival on the 2nd of May.
And please thank Danny Scott.
Cheers. See you at Restival. Love you.
I've been Sakisa. This has been Wrestle Club UK podcast. We'll see you next week.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.